I want to ask you a question. Do you actually want God? Do you actually want Him? Or do you want what He gives you? So it's a good question. So it'd be like, for you to understand, would you want to be my friend? Or would you want to just have what I had to give you? It's a good question. Do you want God, or do you just want what He has to give you? Not the Christian version of God, not the idea of God, not the blessings of God, which they're awesome. Do you just want God? Would you love to just have a relationship with our God? Because I think so often, if we're honest, a lot of us would be fine if God gave us success, provided for us, He answered our prayers definitely, gave us protection, gave us His peace, as long as our lives stayed intact and comfortable, even if God felt a little different, distance, and we would say, well, it's okay, as long as God is providing for me. If God gave you every single thing that you asked Him for, but you very rarely felt His presence, would that be enough? Would you miss Him? Would you really miss time with your Father? Exodus 33 confronts that question. Israel had been rescued from Egypt. You know this story, where they were enslaved. They'd seen all these incredible miracles. They're on their way to that promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey, where everything's going to be super duper. And here they go. But they have blown it while Moses was up getting the commandments. When he comes down, you remember this story with Aaron's help. They took all their jewelry and made a golden calf and started worshiping it. That's in chapter 32 of Exodus. God was furious. Of course He was. And so we start Exodus 33. The Lord says to Moses, verse 1, "Get going, you and the people you brought up from the land of Egypt. Go up to the land I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I told them, I will give this land to your descendants, and I will send an angel before you drive out all the ites." I call them the ites, all those ites. "Go up to this land that flows with milk and honey, but I will not travel among you, for you are a stubborn and rebellious people. If I did, I would surely destroy you along the way." Oh, mothers and daddies, have you ever said, go to your room. Go to your room now. And you know you will kill that kid if they stay in your presence one more second. You just need a little space here. Just go to your room. True? So you can see God. He's going. You get going, guys. I'm going to destroy you if you keep being in my presence. I am so mad at you right now. Let that sink in. So God is telling the Israelites, I'm still giving you the land, the promised land. I'm still going to give you the victory over all the ites. Don't worry about that. I got that covered. I'm still going to protect you as you go. I'll even give you an angel to lead you. But I'm not going with you. God offers His people every single thing He had promised them, except Himself. He's saying, I'm not going to go with you. If you're Israel, maybe this sounds like a good idea. Maybe this sounds like, this is a pretty good deal. Get all the stuff I was going toward. God's just not going to go with me, but He's going to give me protection, His peace, His success, victory, all the goods. He's going to give me all that. Many nations would actually take this in a second. But something is so, so wrong with this offer. God is basically saying, I'm going to give you all my gifts, but I'm not going to give you me. And here's the uncomfortable part. You and I have to decide, is that enough? We have to make that decision. So many churches in our world would take that deal. Many Christians already live this way, very satisfied with all the things that God promises, but they very rarely feel God's presence with them. We want God's guidance, but we really don't want to deal with his holiness. That's quite a bit. It convicts us when we deal with his holiness. We want his provision, but we don't want his presence because sometimes I don't want him to be where I am. Sometimes I'd like him to stay there so I can go do what I want to do. We want God's help, but we truly don't want his nearness. So God's saying, you can have all the stuff, or you can have me. And that's the tension of Exodus 33. So here's the question. If God withdrew his presence from your life, would anybody notice? If God's presence, if his hand came off of you, would somebody see a difference in your life? Would your schedule change? Would your ministry change? Would your prayers change? Would your dependence change? Or would everything just keep moving like usual and you never look back? In Exodus 33, 4 through 6, it says, when the people heard these disastrous words, they went into mourning and stopped wearing their jewelry and fine clothes. For the Lord had told Moses to tell them, you are a stubborn and rebellious people. If I were to travel with you for even a moment, I would destroy you. Remove your jewelry and fine clothes while I decide what to do with you. So from the time they left Mount Sinai, the Israelites wore no more jewelry or fine clothes. Notice that language, this disastrous word. When they heard these disastrous words that God was not going to go with them, it wasn't, oh, maybe we won't make it, or maybe the land's going to be harder to conquer. This is a problem for us. No, they grieved over this news. This was a disaster for them that God would say, I don't want to go with you anymore. So they stripped off their ornaments and their fine clothing, symbols of their pride, their comfort, all their distractions. That's what this month is about, that we're stripping off everything that stands in the way of drawing near to our Heavenly Father. Stripping it off. So jewelry, it's just an image. What is it in your life that God would say, put that away? Put it away while I'm deciding what I'm going to do with you. Grieve over where you have been. Do everything to humble yourself. This isn't just a performance for God. This is a grief over not having God's presence, his nearness with them. Now, I wonder often how we would feel over losing comfort more than we grieve over losing the closeness with God. What if totally my world fell upside down, but I felt God closer than ever before? What would I grieve? Would I grieve over all that loss of whatever that is? Or what if everything in my life is wonderful? Everything. But no closeness of God. Where would my heart grieve over this? Israel stopped and felt the weight of what they had lost. The next question is, if God's presence left our lives, would we mourn or would we just figure out how to manage? Would we just figure out how to do this day? Exodus 33:7 and then to 11, it says, It was Moses' practice to take the tent of meeting and set it up some distance from the camp. Everyone who wanted to make a request of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. Inside the tent of meeting, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. God's presence is no longer in the center of the camp. God's moved his presence out of the center of the camp. Do you hear that? It's no longer in their group. It's no longer in their camp. And so Moses is setting the tent outside the camp. And it says, though, that anybody that wanted to go to him could make that journey out of the camp and go to there to talk to him. We as casual Christians, we might just kind of watch from the doorway, which it says they watch from the doorway. Maybe we just stay in the camp. We think about it. We watch people come and go as they've met with God, come back in, they're going, cool. That must have been awesome. Tell me about it. But we stay in the camp. God reveals himself to those of us who are desperate for him. That we have this strong desire, I have to get into his presence. I need to experience God. Moses, it says God met with him face to face because they were friends. Don't you love that? Moses was a friend of God. I hope God calls me that. I hope he calls me the friend of him because I think meeting God face to face, whoa, baby, wouldn't that be fun? But do you know what? You and I have the privilege that Moses did not have of the Holy Spirit indwelling in us all the time. All the time I'm face to face with God. All the time I can talk to him. All the time he's talking to me. I don't have to go outside the camp to be with God. He is always in the believer. The Holy Spirit dwelling with us. So I can read Moses' story and go, that would be so awesome. Can you imagine what Moses would have done with the Holy Spirit indwelling in him? That the Holy Spirit was talking to him nonstop and he could speak nonstop. So in verse 12, one day Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, take these people up to the promised land, but you haven't told me whom you will send with me. You've told me, I know you by name, and I look favorably on you. If it is true that you look favorably on me, let me know your ways so I may understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favor. And remember, don't you love that he talks to God like this? And remember that this nation is your very own people. And the Lord replied, I will personally go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest. Everything will be fine with you. Then Moses says, if you don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. I think this is one of the boldest prayers in the Bible. A brave, brave prayer. Moses says, God, I don't want the land. I don't want the honey and the supplies. If you're not in it, don't let us move at all. We'll just sit smack dab in this desert. If you're going to be here, this is where we're going to be. I'd rather stay in the desert than lose your presence. I'd rather stay in this job than move out away from you. I'd rather stay in this marriage and not move into comfort, but stay in your presence. I'd rather sit with these difficult finances than to move away from you. Don't make me go, God, without you. I'm going to sit with you, whatever that means. Most of us pray, and I've actually heard people pray this. Maybe you have prayed this yourself. Don't ever pray it again. God, bless our plans. Bless what I'm about to go do. Bless all the things I've decided I'm going to do this year. Bless them. What a way to talk to God, hey? I've made a decision. Now I want you to bless it. Instead of the other way of Moses, God, if you are not leading here, I am not moving. I'm moving nowhere without you. And God's response is, okay, my presence will go with you. And Moses, I'm going to give you rest. Rest, peace, it only comes in God's presence. That's the only place you and I are going to find rest. And it doesn't mean that the whole circumstance around you is going to be peaceful. But as we sit in that storm, we find God's peace and his rest in his presence. A lot of you are in a storm right now. Many, many of you are in a storm. As you sit in the presence of God, God promises you, this is a promise you can bank on. In his presence, you find rest. And that's the only place that you can find his peace. Verse 16, Moses says, how will anyone know that you're looking favorably on me and on your people, if you don't go with us? Now your kids do this too. But really, really, do you promise? That's what he's basically saying, because God's already said, I'm going with you. And he says, for your presence among us, set your people and me apart from all the other people on the earth. So Moses understands something that I think we often forget. What makes people, God's people, look different is God's presence. The only way you and I will look different from the world is if God's presence is always shining through you. It's not our talent. It's not the numbers in our church. It's not our branding. How will New Song look different? It's not going to be, unless God says so, a mega church. What looks different about this church? What made you walk in the door today? Why would you be here? It's God's presence that we're seeking. We're not after some big show. We're not after some big headliner. We're after God. Without God's presence, this church is just another organization. It's an organization. That's all it is. Without God's spirit, we are indistinguishable from the rest of the world. We don't look any different. Without his presence, we're just well-meaning people doing a lot of good things. I had a lady one time say to me, when I was sharing Christ, she says, do you know I'm actually better than any Christian I know? And do you know what? She pretty much was. She did a lot for this world. She was so kind, so compassionate. She gave and gave and served and served. But she was not walking with Jesus. And you felt it. She was a great lady. So even her claim to be better than any Christian I know, okay, I'm not even arguing with you about that. But God's presence wasn't with her in all that she was doing. And you could feel that. He was not there. So Moses says, God, if you don't go with us, we are no different than anybody else. If God is not with this church, we are no different than any other government building or whatever. We're just a building and a gathering of people. Verse 17 says, the Lord replied to Moses, I will indeed do what you have asked, for I look favorably on you, and I know you by name. God knows you by name. He calls you by name. Moses responded then. So he moves to the very next thing. Okay, so you're going to go with us? Cool. Now, Next thing, show me your glorious presence. Notice this progression. Moses first was asking for God's guidance to lead them. Then he says, I want your presence to be with us. And then he asks for more. Show me your glory, God. People who truly encounter God always want more and more and more and more. And God responds to Moses, not by giving him everything he asked for, but by giving Moses as much as he could handle. I have sat in our church on quite a few occasions and asked God, because I always think this would be so awesome. So you know when the Holy Spirit does these spectacular things in the Bible, and like fire licks around the room and everything? So I just always ask God for that. One day it's going to happen. So go, oh, God's answered Dana's prayers. Because I will sit there and I'll say, now, God, now, shake the wall. Send fire around. Do something, God. Make this a different day. Do something spectacular. Now. Do it now. Hadn't happened yet. Sometimes I look at donkeys and I go, got anything to say to me? Do you want to talk to me? I'm listening. Have you ever asked a donkey if he wanted to talk to you? I have. They have not talked to me yet. It has happened in the past to other people. I'm still open for it. Because I want more of God. This is not enough. I had one of, I think, my most spectacular week this week with God. And it has been one of my hardest weeks in life. Spectacular week with God. I cannot wait for this week. I am so excited. I want more. I absolutely want more of Him. That's not enough. God, show me your glory. I don't even know what that means. His glory? God, show me as much as you think I can handle. I want to know you better and better. Moses' prayer still echoes today. If your presence does not go with us, do not send us from here. And the question was never whether God wanted to be with his people. He always wants to be with his people. So he sent his son Jesus. And in Matthew 28:20, Jesus says, and behold, I'm with you always. So God's presence for the believer is always here. Did you notice it? Do you feel it? Are you pursuing it with everything? Are you hungering with a hunger like you have never had before? More, God. I want more. Do you want more? This is not enough. You and I cannot make it in this world without more. I don't ever want to stand in front of God one day and try to explain to him how I walked through this world without him, how I just made it and barely creaked into heaven. I just need more. I would just love for you right now to bow your heads. You can be with a partner, you can be by yourself. Ask God for more of himself in your life. Let's just take a few minutes. Ask God, would you just show me more of you? Let's pray. Jesus, it's only in your presence that we find rest and peace. It's only in your presence where our hope is found. Oh, I thank you so much that you desire to be with us. What a precious gift. Lord, I ask for us as individuals, but as your church, that we pursue you with a hunger and a passion like we've never done before. And I thank you ahead of time that you will show up in a mighty, mighty way. In your name I pray, Jesus. Amen.